This is a wonderful day, the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, last night it was initiated and started off by Coy's message. And Coy had a good point there with the fact that God provides what his people need, and he provides them at the right time. It's true. So here we are at the right time for the Feast of Tabernacles. He wants us to keep it. He loves his people and wants us to understand what he's doing and how to keep the commandments, how to trust him and believe all his words. So let's begin. So God has prepared his saints for this time in the face of Satan. Satan is this world's leader, ruler, influencer, deceiver. Satan is. And God has allowed that for a period of time. That's the age we're in. Before Kingdom of God comes to the earth to make big changes. And we've spoken about those changes in the last few days on the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Trumpets. So that was the time for that. And I'm going to review some of these things so that people can understand completely what is going on, what is happening. So let's get started right away. Remember, God has cleansed the world, and that's what we recognize from the Feast of Trumpets. He cleansed the world of many millions and billions of evildoers, because he's not going to begin his millennium, as we call it, a thousand-year period, with evildoers. He has to set them aside. Now, are they condemned to eternal death? Not necessarily. They will be resurrected, because after all, they did not have the Holy Spirit. Those people that were evil and would not repent at that time, during the time of trumpets, they're dead. They're in the grave, though. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, so they didn't spurn the Holy Spirit, which is the only way you can lose your salvation. They never had salvation. So let's not be too weepy about those who died because of their wickedness. That's why they died. But that was the Feast of Trumpets. Jesus spoke of this time, this Feast of Tabernacles time, from the beginning of the gospel to mankind. It's the time for people of the world to begin an entirely new way of living. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles presents to those who keep it. It's a totally new way of living. And although it is centered in Jerusalem, and it is, it will fill the earth with righteousness, and that's the intention of it. The beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles is to begin to fill the earth with righteousness, God's righteousness. So today, let's become acquainted with some of the characteristics of the millennium and what the events will be. We'll be reading several scriptures that inform believers about that time. Today, few people read the Bible, and even those who do read it wrongly, because they read it for their own benefit, their own aggrandizement, so they can preach something on Sunday. They don't know what they're doing. So, we will be learning or refreshing our knowledge of God's plan today for mankind. God's plan for mankind as we read of it in His Word, not our imagination. So there are many things to know, so let's dive right in. We could start in Isaiah chapter 40. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah is filled with messages of judgment, judgment after judgment, many of which apply to the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. But as chapter 40 begins, there's a little different focus. The emphasis is on restoration and deliverance. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5. It says, comfort ye my people. It's a statement of loving comfort, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double all her sins. What is the history of Jerusalem? In a word, war. All through the Old Testament, war and calamity. Even as we live and watch today, more war and destruction and deception will come. We've seen it. In fact, this is the anniversary of an example of war on the people of Jerusalem. That's the way it's seen, that attack by Hamas and the wicked people of Hamas. You know where they're headed, don't you? That's God's determination. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 34, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who have been sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you refused. All along, God had his hand out to Israel, and they turned away. Therefore, Jerusalem is to be chastened, and all of Jacob is to be chastened with the rest of the world. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 5 through 9. Ezekiel 7, 5. Thus says the Lord God, quote, an evil, behold, an unheard of evil has come, and an end has come. The end has come. It awakes. It awakes against you. Behold, it has come. The encirclement of doom has come unto you, O dwellers of the land. The time has come. The day of tumult is near, and not a joyful shouting upon the mountains. And I will soon pour out my fury upon you and fulfill my anger upon you. And I will judge you according to your ways and will repay you for all your abominations. And my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity I will repay you according to your ways and your abominations, and in your midst, and you shall know. Finally, they shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. God's anger and wrath will be executed upon those who have committed the abominations, the gross perversions, the unjust judgments, the hatreds. We are witnesses of these things today. We're watching what's going on in the Middle East. Just a beginning. There will be no peace. Yet it is done for a cleansing. And he uses the nations to do it. So let's read Jeremiah chapter 30. These verses refer to Jacob and Israel. These are the 12 tribes of Israel who were rescued from slavery in Egypt. The slavery of Egypt. Jeremiah speaks of a future rescue of Israel, not from Egypt this time, except in type, but this time from Babylon the Great, after the return of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 30, verse 2, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will turn back the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. Captivity, says the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they shall possess it. We know what this means. Many in the world do not understand this. And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. That's what we have now. Ask now and see whether a man is giving birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all the faces are turned to paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, quote, I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no longer enslave him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up to them. You see the time frame. That's the time it will be provided. He will be saved out of it at the right time. So we're in for some interesting times. It is the time of the resurrection of the saints that is referred to here, because David is there, and if David's there, we know we will be there with him. Verse 10, and you, my servant Jacob, do not fear, says the Lord. Do not be terrified, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and shall be at rest. And be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you. Yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct. Chastise, the word is chastise. I will chastise you in measure and will not utterly destroy you. These are promises God has made to Israel. If they only knew. This means that God will bring the people of the 12 tribes into the land set apart for them. But God will correct them with troubles. Troubles called Jacob's trouble. We understand Jacob is another way of saying Israel, because Jacob was renamed by God Israel, overcoming, overcomer with God. So let's understand the excellent future of Jerusalem starting in the millennium. That's when it begins. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful robes, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for never again shall come to you the uncircumcised and the unclean ones. In other words, all the impure people. The blessed people in the millennium will live joyfully. Never again will they be attacked by wicked nations. Take note that God will also bless all nations who follow his way, not just Israel. Psalm 128, verse 1 through 6. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. For you shall surely eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and all is well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. Your children shall be like olive plants around your table. Behold, so shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, you shall see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's learn how God will begin the millennium with the people who survived his wrath. Not all people will be killed, because there will be repentant people at the end of the age who will be the seed of the millennium, the beginning stock, let's put it that way, who turned at that time from Babylon, Babylon the Great. It will be destroyed. And they believed the two witnesses, and they believed the gospel. Ezekiel 11, verse 14. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, your brethren, even your brethren, the men of your kindred, and all the house of Israel, of all that have heard the inhabitants of Jerusalem say to all of them, quote, go far away from the Lord. This land is given to us for a possession. Therefore say this, thus says the Lord God, though I have sent them far off among the nations, and though I have scattered them among the countries, yet I will be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you were scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come there, and they shall take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from it. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. the Holy Spirit. And I will remove the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. John the Baptist referred to the following verses when Jesus came to him for baptism. I've mentioned this before, but it really strikes me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice is calling out in the wilderness, quote, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth, plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He's doing it. John prophesied about the millennium that day as he saw the man, Jesus Christ, coming to his baptism. John the Baptist. Let's understand the millennium. It begins a period of time. A period of time as seen in the book of Revelation. Remember that God is using the rigid phenomena of time to work his plan. We have no influence on time whatever. It rules us. The last 3 seconds are gone. The next 3 seconds are coming. We have no control over time. God does. He created it. It doesn't have power over him. Maybe you don't understand that. So, this is what he is using, time, to work his plan for bringing many children to live by the love of God. So where do we learn this? Where do we learn this? Revelation 20, verse 6, please. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There is the millennium right there. There's some phrases and terms people don't understand. There's the first resurrection, meaning there is another one, right? First mean implies a second or any number of other ones. And then the second death is mentioned. So people, do they understand that? The second death is the one you must avoid because it's permanent. It's the one where you are gone. The first death is only where you enter into a sleep state in the grave or in smoke or whatever if you got burnt up. But you're sleeping, you know nothing. When you sleep, you know nothing. When we're flesh, we have dreams, but no dreams when you're dead, okay? That's not written in Scripture. It's my imagination that said that. Who will have part in the first resurrection? Those whom God calls God is calling certain people at this time, and all through history, he calls certain people. He brings them to attention. They were just going along to work, and all of a sudden, of the ones called, some will make the choice to believe and obey the word of God. That's what happens. They will stop sinning to the best of their ability. They will stop following along with evildoers. They will see their faults, which they hadn't seen before, and their sins, and they will confess them to God. They will repent of those sins and live according to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because God will be giving them a benefit. They will be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. They will go through these procedures that God has determined. Baptism. When they are tempted to sin, they will refuse most of the time. And if they fail to refuse, they'll repent of it. Even when they're threatened, they'll refuse. People can be threatened by loss of their job if they keep the Sabbath day. That's a threat. A small one, admittedly, because God can give them another job if they get canned. They will believe the promise, these people who are called. They will believe the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, their Savior. And that is extremely important. They believe it. They will not give up trusting God. They will endure sufferings, overcome wickedness even to death. This is the life of called people. If God sees our faith to believe and obey him in this life, a decision will be made. If we have done these things, we will be with Christ when he returns to execute vengeance upon the end time beast. It's written in Revelation. Read it. Revelation 17, verse 14. The beast will make war with the lamb, but the lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords. We are the lords that he's Lord of. And King of kings, we are the kings that he is king of. And those who are with him, we will be with him, are called and chosen and faithful. So these are the ones who will have part in the first resurrection. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So brethren, the Church of God member, each one is being judged during their life after receiving the Holy Spirit. That's our state right now. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 11, 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord so that we will not be condemned with the world. The world will be condemned as it is and changed, but we will not be condemned with it. So if we have some trial, it may be that it comes to teach us, to show us our weakness for a sin. A wise servant will correct his ways with guidance from the master. Let's be wise. However, the foolish servant will be corrected by the hand of God so that he not come to ruin. We want to be in the first resurrection. Why? When Jesus was about to be arrested on the Passover night, that last Passover he kept, he prayed extensively to our Father, his Father, our Father. In John chapter 17, he says an amazing thing. He knows he is going to die and be resurrected and return to heaven to be with his Father. John 17, verse 8. For I have given them, the apostles, the disciples, the words that you gave to me, and they have received them and truly have known that I came from you, and they have believed that you did send me. The apostles believed as well as we believe. Verse 9, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, Father. Those who are called, chosen, and faithful, not the rest of the world. Verse 11, and I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you have given me, so that they may be one even as we are one. Should I read it again? Is it comprende? You have given me so that they may be one even as we are one. I hope we get that. The saints are to become one with God the Father and Jesus Christ at the resurrection, at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. At that time will come. It's marching toward that time. Why is God doing this? It is certainly not to play harps and drift about on clouds, as we know, as some people teach. We will be spirit beings like Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. We are now. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is manifested, when he appears, we shall see him. We shall be like him because we shall see him exactly as he is, which no one can see at this time. At that time, we will see it, the resurrection. We will have entered the God family. In a blinking, what is it they call the blink of an eye? And what will we do? What will we do? Well, God intends to make eternal life available to every person born, with a few exceptions up to now. As we discussed earlier, not everyone is called in this age. Those who have not been called over the thousands of years of human history, not called yet, have not yet had an opportunity to understand the gospel of salvation. Today, even today. But God wants them also to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the salvation of his. The resurrected saints will join as one with Jesus Christ and the Father to begin working with the entire world of humanity toward their salvation. God has big plans. It's not just us. It's not us. We're just working with him. This is a monumental task that he will perform and we will be part of. So as it is with big projects, it must be done a little at a time. Why do you think he just calls us? He calls us his little flock. That's what he calls his church in this age, his little flock. Perhaps it is as if in this age, we who are called are the foundation of this work that begins in the millennium is the work of God. That's when we can do the work of God. There are many departments in anything, in the work, and I cannot cover all of that in this message, this introduction to the kingdom of God and the millennium. But I believe others will have details through the feast about what Scripture says about the thousand-year period we call the millennium. Let's understand this. The following is truth. Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of God. After he finished his work of redemption, he created his church of God on that day of Pentecost, written of in Acts chapter 2. We've all read that. Over 2,000 years ago, that happened. So he began the church. He initiated the church of God then. Since then, he has been building the church with people whom he has called from every nation. Every nation over the centuries. These are the saints. We see by this how God uses time as a tool in his hand to bring into existence what he wants. He told us the method he uses in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, saying, "The kingdom of God is compared to a tiny mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is very small among the smallest seeds, but after it is grown, it is greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of heaven come and roost in its branches." Then another parable he spoke, "The kingdom of heaven is compared to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." Get the point? All leavened, built big, amazingly large from a tiny beginning. When the saints of this church age are resurrected, they will immediately become members of the kingdom of God. All saints changed to spirit, having eternal life, becoming one with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That is the future of every baptized member of God's church today. Every one found faithful. That kingdom of God, then, replaces Babylon the Great, which has ruled the earth since early times, and we know about that under the influence of Satan, the adversary of God. If you remember, you may not remember, this might be a topic sometime, God placed the world into the authority of Babylon after Israel refused the position. This is written of in Daniel. We are the church of God if we are called and have believed and obey God. This means we are designated to partake of the work of God as sons of God, having the appearance of glory. Glory. Matthew 13, verse 43. Matthew 13, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear.